The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right. I see what kind of show this is going to be today. Dan Orlovsky throwing shade, even when the sun is shining, Stephen A.
I got something to say. I got something to say to Dan Orlovsky before this show begins. I got something to say to him.
What's that?
You got me, bro. You got me. I have no.
Look at that backdrop.
I have no
Look
comeback.
At it. Beautiful.
I have no comeback whatsoever. I'm so ticked off.
It's beautiful
that I'm
out
in
here,
LA.
Stephen A.
There's people I might not speak to for another 3 years. I'm just telling you. I'm just so ticked off. I'm not there.
It's
you
beautiful out here. It's going to be another 90 degrees. Another 90 degrees.
And where are you, Wendy? Where are you, Wendy?
Okay, look, I'm in LA, but I walked into this building at 3:45 a.m. I haven't seen the sun yet.
But you will.
But you will, yeah.
You will, though.
Will you,
true.
Stephen A?
We
I
got
will.
It, Wendy. It's right over
at 3:15,
there.
I'm out of
right
here.
It's right over there.
3:15
now,
Eastern,
looks
I'm
like
out of here, man.
A toupee with the wind, but it's gorgeous out here.
Oh, my. Look at that backdrop. That is, wow.
So let me get this straight. I'm Stephen A. I'm Stephen A, okay? It's First Take. It's
this is your show.
It's ESPN and Wendy and Orlovsky. And
Stephen
Big
A,
Perk
I'm
and them
sitting
are
in
all
your
in
chair.
LA. Thanks a
I'm
lot,
sitting
bosses.
In
Thanks
your chair right now. This is your chair. I'm sitting in it. It's
so Wendy
very comfortable.
And Orlovsky got me.
They referenced something like it was a changing of the guard or something like that, Stephen.
You're right
I
about
don't
that.
Know, man.
It damn
I just,
sure ooh, is, because y'all in LA and I'm not.
Strong,
y'all got me.
Strong words. You better be ready to defend right. those later on. Dan, we're going to get to you in just a bit. Wendy, you're sticking around. Kendrick Kirk is also joining us.
Look at him blowing his ear. Like he's Fabio or something.
He might as well be at this point. Kendrick Perkins also joining us in just a second. All right, Dan, we got to send you into the sun for just a few minutes because we got NBA trade deadline to talk about. It comes up in just about 5 hours from now. And yesterday, Brian Windhorst said he suspected the Nets and the 76ers were going to pull off a trade involving James Harden and Ben Simmons. Then earlier this morning, sources told our Adrian Wojnarowski that Harden does, in fact, want to be traded to Philly, but he fears the backlash of putting in a formal request. Okay, so lots of things are swirling in the universe right now. So, Wendy, tell us, what are you hearing? What is the latest concerning this trade?
Yeah, so, I mean, James Harden hasn't formally asked, but his behavior and his actions on the Nets road trip out in the West last week and his inability to play this week have made clear that he wants to be traded. This is not a new concept for the Nets to realize. So the real challenge here, I mean, yeah, is there a deal to be made? Yes. Could we spend the next 2 hours talking about which pieces could go in it? Yes, and we'll do that a little bit, I'm sure. But the real bedrock issue, from what I understand, is what will happen with Harden and the Nets if they don't do this deal. If there's no deal by 3 o'clock, if all of the personalities and the factors and the animosity involved in this transaction makes it impossible, what James Harden is showing up to work tomorrow? Is it going to be the James Harden who was here earlier this year and was an all-star? Is it going to be the James Harden of last week in Sacramento where he scored 4 points in what can only be termed as a protest performance? That is the big thing. And that is a Durant question. That is an ownership question. That is a general manager question. That is a coach question. What James Harden are they going to get? Because they are already facing Harden walking on them for a worse package or nothing this summer if they don't do this deal. What you would get by waiting is Harden this year and maybe this team getting a chance to win. But if you're getting Houston Harden and what happened last week, that is a real issue. And I don't know how the Nets are going to get clarity. I don't even know if James says that he'll be okay, if you can even trust it.
Go ahead, Big Perk.
So here's the thing, right? This is the problem when you team up with your friends, okay? Like, and you're scared to hurt feelings. But at the end of the day, I think the Nets have no choice at this point. You have to find a trade that works because you can't bring him back in the locker room knowing that he don't want to be there. Because no matter how they will try to fake it, you still going to be getting that side eye like, yeah, all right, whatever, yeah, you all in. But I don't blame James, and he shouldn't be afraid to speak out about nothing. I don't know why he was scared. What backlash is he going to get? I told you, I said this time and time again, Stephen A. and Wendy, I would want out. Dealing with what Brooklyn got going on, and the common denominator, the person who's right in the middle, we all know, is Kyrie Irving. And it's not just about the vaccine. It's his history. It's his pattern. James Harden didn't sign up for this. He has nothing to be ashamed about. He shouldn't get no backlash for wanting out. It's not his fault. So they could point the finger elsewhere. But I think Brooklyn, they have to trade James Harden. It's a must. They got to figure it out.
Well, Perk, a few things. And, Wendy, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here this morning. Perk and I had this discussion yesterday. And, Perk, let me be clear. I don't disagree with you about the James Harden portion as it pertains to what Brooklyn should do and should want to do. My issue with you and where we disagreed was in Philly deciding to make that move with Ben Simmons sending him to Brooklyn. That's my belief. But we can discuss that later on in the show. Let me say this. You're absolutely right about James Harden in terms of how he should feel. But because he's elected to be quiet, he's actually looking worse because he hasn't come out, Perk, and did exactly what you said. Look at this situation. I ain't signed up for this. I ain't trying to be a part of this dysfunctionality that's reeking through this franchise. Had he said that, then everybody would be focused on that instead of him, as Wendy would point out, replicating his behavior in regards to what sparked his departure from Houston. But because he's been quiet, now you're thinking about what he pulled in Houston. Now you find yourself thinking about that again, and that's what makes him look bad and issues of trust come into the equation. So that hurts James Harden. Mm-hmm. Kyrie is Kyrie. Let's be very, very clear about it. Kim Whitty, I don't know if you knew this. Pink Perk, I don't know if you knew this. We're peons. We're peons. You understand what I'm saying? We don't matter. I mean, he is. His level of intellect and intelligence is so far above the rest of us. You know, Mr. World is flat. I mean, the bottom line is that all of us stand at the altar of Kyrie Irving. So he's living in his own world, his own dimensions. I'm not going to play in Brooklyn until they lift the mandate, but I'll be able to play on the road. You should be privileged to have me, okay? Because I am blessing you with my presence. Now, as a basketball player, I don't blame him one bit for having that attitude in terms of his talent because the brother is spectacular. But there is something to be said about team. There is something to be said about prioritizing an obligation towards winning, particularly when you're getting paid $35 million a year and you got that money because you swore that you would be ready to ball all day, every day in order to pursue a chip. But that's him. Ultimately, it comes down to Kevin Durant. Because whether it's Sean Marks, whether it's Joe Tsai, whether it's Steve Nash or anybody else, this is Kevin Durant's team. Before the brother got hurt, he was averaging 29 a game. He was a superstar in line to win in league MVP. He was right there in the discussion. We know who KD is. He told us before. We know who he is, okay? The bottom line is, this is your franchise. And regardless of the fact that you follow Kyrie, Kyrie convinced you to go to Brooklyn, it's still your franchise. The only reason the Brooklyn Nets wanted Kyrie is because Kevin Durant said, that's my man. I want him. If it wasn't for that, they would have said back years ago, nah, we ain't trying to deal with that. We would elect to go in another direction. But Kevin Durant convinced them otherwise. So he's the one, by the way, KP, he's the reason James Harden is still there, because he's told the Nets, from what I'm told, look, I'm going to come back after the All-Star break. The mandate will be lifted by May. And then, by the way, sometime in the spring or whatever, that's what their belief is. And if James Harden is still here with us, we can make a run and go for it. That's the reason James Harden is still there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the Nets would have moved him already.
So, and listen, if Durant can sell that
to Harden, if those two have that conversation or have had that conversation, then I think they can go forward. If they could agree, let's go all out this year and we'll deal with this in July, then I think Brooklyn doesn't make the trade. But James Harden is back in Brooklyn. He didn't even go to Washington. Durant is in Washington.
So it's not a possibility.
If that conversation has happened, I'm not aware of it.
Big Perk, go ahead.
See, here's the thing. The person who the Nets should be trying to trade is Kyrie Irving. Because, look, let me tell you something. Look at what the Brooklyn Nets had to give up to get James Harden to Brooklyn. Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, both of those guys are young studs and balling, by the way, now with the Cavs. But when you look at what they had to give up, including first-round picks, and now all of a sudden you get James Harden there, we all know how the contract extension situation was supposed to go, but it was derailed by Kyrie Irving. But again, if Kevin Durant don't put his foot down and say, you know what? Hey, look, James, man, I know what the problem is. I see what's going on. I understand it's him. Look, man, let's figure out what we could do with Kyrie Irving. We only got him part-time anyway. We don't know if he's bought in 100% anyway. Some days he don't answer the phone for us. Some days he don't even text back. Right. Hell, he might even walk in without giving anybody a warning and say, okay, I'm just taking a couple of days off. That's the guy that they should be trying to trade and keep James Harden and KD and bring in some other pieces.
Big Perk, hold on for a second. Producers, put Big Perk and Wendy up on the screen together. I want to see them when I ask this question. We go play quiz. I don't know what damn television show it is, a game show, a quiz or whatever. But let me give y'all two scenarios. Big Perk, sit up, my brother, and put that big smile on your face. Act like you Santa Perk. You giving out gifts today. Here's the question. Which one, if you are another team, who do you want? Do you want Kyrie Irving, both Kyrie Irving and James Harden? Let's assume they're at their best. No hamstring injuries, no nothing, okay? They're at their best. All right. Who do you want? Do you want the Kyrie Irving that takes off when he wants, plays what he wants, has never played more than 60, he's played more than 60 games in a season four times in his career, just four times, okay? Takes off because of riots at the U.S. Capitol because he's traumatized and he's got other things on his mind, and then they find him partying with his family, okay? Do you want that Kyrie Irving, okay, who you never know is going to play, or do you want James Harden, who, according to my sources, not only has been showing up late to practice, brother showed up late to a game. I mean, between Utah, when they went to Denver, I was told that he went to Denver and people were speculating as to whether or not he's in Vegas. Oh, wow. That was a Saturday night they had off now, so I ain't knocking it, okay, damn it? I mean, as long as you get back, who cares? Listen, I got love for James Harden. I think that James Harden shows up to play, wants to play every game. I'm going to tell you, even though you might be right, about trading Kyrie, KP, the issue is who's going to take him if they're questioning whether or not he's going to be committed to playing. To me, with James Harden, I understand what you're saying, but there's not a lot of takers. Floor's y'all. Y'all both answer that. Which one you taking?
I'm gonna put it to you straight, Stephen A. There's no takers for Kyrie Irving because, if nothing else, he can opt out and be a free agent after this year. Right. No one's given anything for him. And I'm going to be honest with you. Outside of Philadelphia, and keep in mind, you're not just trading for James Harden. You're trading for James Harden and his desire for a $220 million contract extension through age 38. Both of those things. Outside of Philadelphia, I'm not so sure there's any suitors for James Harden right now, if they would open up to the whole league, considering everything that he's done the last two teams. And if you're Brooklyn and you trade for Ben Simmons, who I realize is a lesser player than James Harden, he's also 7 years younger, and I know of seven or eight teams who want Ben Simmons, who've been trying to trade for him for the last 6 months, and there would have been a trade had Daryl Morey not been locked squarely onto his old friend from Houston. And so if you're Brooklyn, you get Ben Simmons, who I think is going to try to play his backside off if he's clear, and then other assets, and you are faced with, if it doesn't work out, you could retrade him this summer, and he's under contract for three more years with no opt-outs. So that is the plate. That is what is on the plate. And if you're Philly, I'm not sure that you can get a better deal from James Harden than you can get today. And if the other side of that is, well, we get to play with Harden for the rest of this season, that's what you're looking at. How valuable is Harden the rest of this season versus what we have otherwise? I don't think Irving and Harden's value out there is very big at all.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's move on. Let's move on to the Lake. Go ahead. Oh, we was going to move on to the Lakers. You got something quick to say? All right, go ahead. Let's move on to the Lakers, Charlie.
Okay. So on the other side of things, we have the big three in L.A. Obviously, there's some problems there. They lost again last night. Their 11th loss out of 16 games that they've had recently. This was to the Patchwork Trailblazers. So obviously, LeBron very frustrated with what's going on. The trade deadline, as we said, a little less than 5 hours away from now. So, Wendy, what are you hearing as far as the Lakers are concerned, specifically as it concerns Russell Westbrook?
There, as far as I know, and obviously those of us in my business were always a little bit behind, some of us way behind, you know, but I'm usually farther behind than others. I don't know of a Russell Westbrook trade that the Lakers have right now because, at least as of yesterday, the Lakers were not willing to include their 2027 first-round pick. It's the only pick that they can trade, and quite frankly, it's a very desirable pick, especially if you can get it unprotected because LeBron is going to be gone, Anthony Davis is going to be older. Who knows where the Lakers are going to be in 2027? What they're focused on, from what I am told, is Talen Horton-Tucker trades. And by the way, Horton-Tucker, one of the only bright spots from the Lakers game last night. He played one of his best games in the second half of the season. They have talked to Toronto. Toronto wanted Talen Horton-Tucker last year in a Kyle Lowry trade. And had the Lakers made that trade, we would be having a different conversation today. But that's in the past. They're talking to some other teams for Horton-Tucker as well. They're looking for young wing players, or at least versatile wing players. Right. What Toronto has to offer is Goran Dragic and a first-round pick. Right. The Lakers would have to retrade that somewhere else, so that's complicated. But the reason I think the Lakers need to do something is if you watch the game last night, their morale and momentum is DOA. Mm-hmm. So they need to do something to get this team reinvigorated, and then you make the best of the Westbrook situation and maybe then deal with it in the summer.
Okay, let's get down to this, okay? I appreciate that insight, Wendy. Thank you so much. The Los Angeles Lakers are an unmitigated disaster. They are a mess. They are going to cost people their jobs, their livelihoods. And in the midst of all of that, players who are getting paid won't deserve to get paid. But they'll get their money anyway, which is why the next round of collective bargaining agreements between collective bargaining negotiations between the owners and the players is something that is going to be must-see TV in terms of us talking about it, because these owners are coming for them. The fact that you got guys taking time off, the fact that you got guys that don't want to follow rules and regulations, the fact that you got guys that are being lackadaisical at their discretion, picking and choosing when they want to play, how they want to play, et cetera, instead of being committed to doing their damn jobs. The owners are coming for them. And I've always just called it down the middle, just the way that I see it, et cetera, et cetera. But some of these dudes, if the players end up getting the short end of the stick, they will have deserved it because some of the shenanigans simply cannot be tolerated. It's bad for the game. Last night, specifically, let's get to this game. How the hell do you lose to the Portland Trailblazers? No Damian Lillard, no C.J. McCollum, no Robert Covington, no Norman Powell, and you lost to the Portland Trailblazers. Let me just read some of these names. This guy, C.J. Ellaby, Justice Winslow on his like third team or fourth team in the last 3 years. Nurkic, don't get me started with his no defense playing self. Ben McLemore, that was their starters. Okay. Dennis Smith Jr., he's been all around the league in just 5 years. Greg Brown III, Trendon Watford. This is who beat the Lakers. This is who beat the Lakers. Now, last time I checked, Big Perk, Anthony Davis played last night. LeBron James played last night. We can't blame Russell Westbrook. That brother was sitting on a bench with a chill hat, by the way. I actually like this hat. I'm sorry. He was sitting on a bench. Can't blame this for him. LeBron James had 6 turnovers last night. And then in the post-game conference, what does he sit up there and say? Man, it's in a fog and all of this other stuff. I just want to go and drink some wine and relax. If that don't sound like a team with its star that said, this season's a wash. We ain't going nowhere. It's pretty much over. I don't know what the hell does. At the end of the day, Frank Vogel's going to pay a price. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it, but he'll probably pay a price. You can't, unless a miracle happens and you're able to get rid of Russell Westbrook's contract, $47 million call for next year. And by the way, while we're sitting there talking, Jeannie Buss, the wonderful, wonderful.
She is wonderful.
Jeannie Buss. Love Jeannie Buss.
Mm-hmm.
But Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis cannot be influential figures in your basketball operation. Now, I like Kurt Rambis as a person. But damn it, you weren't Magic, Worthy, and Kareem, and then when you were playing, don't get me started to what you were as a coach or an executive. And somehow, some way, don't even know what your title is, because Rob Pelinka's supposed to be the GM. No wonder Magic Johnson quit. No wonder he said y'all kick rocks. No wonder he told the Lakers organization, I'm done. I can't take it no more because of the nonsense that's going on with your organization. Who the hell is running it? Who's the boy? LeBron James? He's responsible for this roster now. He has something to do with this. Rob Pelinka, Mr. Pleaser, how's that working out for you? And Linda and Kurt Rambis? Kurt Rambis? I don't know, Linda. I'm sure she's a wonderful lady, and she's good friends with Jeannie, and Jeannie listens to her best friend. I got no issues with Linda at all. Don't know her. Wish her nothing but the best. But I know Kurt Rambis. In terms of your resume, what the hell is he doing helping to make basketball decisions where he sits up there and says, oh, we're going to pick your coaching staff for you? It's a mess. Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing. And the only reason the Lakers are relevant is because of tradition and history. Right. No wonder Magic Johnson quit on y'all asses. Go ahead, KP.
Well, first of all, Stephen A., I don't know why you even getting worked up. And I don't even know why the world was surprised that the Lakers lost last night to that Portland Trailblazers team. I came on here 2 months ago and told you. Mm-hmm. that the Lakers were trash. I told you I didn't want to talk about them. I told you they wasn't a very good basketball team. But here's the thing. In their defense, I'm not taking up for them, but I'm telling you from going inside the locker room, after getting smoked, cooked, the way that Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks did them the night before, when you have that type of energy going back into the locker room where guys are down, you're starting to hear the whispers, you have the Russell Westbrook interview, you know, everything, Frank Vogel, all this, the trade deadline is coming up. Hey, look, no one could be trusted. Everybody's mm-hmm. like, man, I'm going, let's go to Portland, let's get this out the way, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. So I will say that taking you inside the locker room, it's a different feeling when it's time, when it's building up to the trade deadline and your name is being talked about in trades or the team is being talked about being broken up or whatever the case may be. But here's the fact of the matter, man. The Lakers or a play-in team that's going to get in the first round and get sent home. Period, point blank. The only good thing that's going to happen for the Lakers this year and LeBron James is that he's going to pass Kareem as far as the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. That's the only thing that's going to happen this year. The only thing that's going to happen good for them. But besides that, I told you 2 months ago, the Lakers are trash. Ain't nothing changed.
You know what?
Ain't nothing changed.
But, Perk, man, with all due respect, man, and I'm not disagreeing. I'm just simply saying, yeah, you said it. But I'll be damned if you meant to say it against a Portland team without Dame, without CJ, without Covington, without Powell. I mean, damn. And I like this kid, Anthony Simons. This brother can ball. I like him a lot, okay? He's the truth, okay? But it's essentially the only names we really know is him and Nurkic. That's who you lost to with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I'm telling you, man, everybody ain't meant for L.A. Everybody ain't meant for L.A. It's a different flavor that comes with being in L.A., okay? You got to be able to handle stuff off the court to maintain discipline and focus because you could easily be distracted.
Yeah, well, they do not have the flavor right now. They're four games below 500. And just a quick quote from what LeBron said after the game last night. He said, I'm literally tired as hell right now. I just want to get some wine, get into bed, and wake up tomorrow. And that's where they're at.
When has he ever said that?
He just said it last night after the game. So
he doesn't say that in his career, but he said it last night.
Exactly. Things are getting very bad in L.A., so We'll see what happens as the trade deadline approaches.
Sorry, KP, Wendy, they got me disgusted.
Thank you so very much for being here. And also, Wendy, we'll see you in just a bit. Hopefully, we'll get some updates from you. But now we are going to get to some football because 3 days and counting until Super Bowl 56, and we could not ask for better storylines heading into the big game. 2009 number one draft pick Matthew Stafford joining the Rams after 12 long years in Detroit with not even a playoff win to show for it, while 2020 number one draft pick Joe Burrow has resurrected a franchise in his first full season playing, and both quarterbacks ready for the spotlight.
I think anytime you're playing in the Super Bowl, you got to be feeling good about it. I've only played in one. They're about to play my first. I know I feel good, you know, about our team and you know, how we've gotten here. You know, it's never perfect. It's never easy. This team has sacrificed a lot and gone through a lot to get to the point that we are.
We'd like to start out fast, you know, when they have a really good pass rush. So when they know their team's dropping back and throwing the ball, you know, they can kind of tee off. So we want to get out to a strong start. But, you know, whatever the game calls for us, for us to win, we're going to go out and do. If we get behind early, you know, we're not going to panic. So, you know, maybe a comeback is going to be necessary, but, you know, we'd like to jump out early and kind of control the game.
Okay, both remarkable quarterbacks. And Dan Orlovsky is back from sunny L.A., might I add, Stephen A. Stephen A., who do you trust more, Stafford or Burrow?
In terms of trust, I'm going to roll with Burrow. I'm going to roll with Burrow because I think that Burrow even as a young dude, has shown tremendous, tremendous poise. I don't really have to get deep into the weeds about this because Dan Orlovsky himself is the one that helped me with my take. Dan Orlovsky has been on the record. I want you to look straight ahead, my brother. Don't look down to your right. Look right at me, man, and lift up those eyes and stop flinging your hair like Fabio, okay? And talking to me, all right? Here's the deal, Dan Orlovsky. You helped me with this because you were the one that was on the record stating that Matthew Stafford is a dude that does things because he can and you can't. He's the guy that's a gunslinger. He's the guy that doesn't mind taking chances because we all know as a talent, he can do things that most people can't do, which means he's prone to taking chances, to coming across as a bit undisciplined because he doesn't mind taking risk, which this year has definitely worked to his favor and major props to him. As a result of that, that's when we bring in the word trust, and that's the key element here, the word trust. When we bring in that word, I'm saying that I trust Joe Burrow to be more disciplined, to minimize mistakes more so than Matthew Stafford. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of mistakes that's forced upon you because Aaron Donald's breathing down your face and Von Miller and Floyd and those boys are breathing down your face. I'm talking about you just electing to take risk because you want to go for the home run. You want to swing for the fences. I think that Stafford more than Burrow, and as a result, the trust with me lies with Burrow because I think he's a guy that would be more judicious and diplomatic in his approach, more disciplined per se, than Matthew Stafford. That's all I'm coming from with that. Nothing more than it. Nothing more, Dan.
Yeah. I trust Matthew Stafford more, certainly in moments, certainly in crucial clutch moments that I've talked about for a long time now, specifically with him in the fourth quarter. I mean, Matthew's got 89 career wins, 89. 44 of them have required a fourth quarter game-winning drive. So basically half of the wins that the guy has in his career are because at the most important moments, he played his best football. Now, I think your point of, and I probably agree with you, that when it comes to like the poise of the four-quarter game, you know, the first third down of the football game when there's pressure, what is Joe Burrow going to do with the football? Yeah, I would probably say that I lean towards him being a little bit more cautious with the ball. Matthew very much so is the gunslinger that came out of Georgia. You know, he was the number one pick. He's always going to be that person. He's refined it and minimized it a little bit and gotten control of it over the course of the last 6 or 7 years. But I would say this. Not only do I trust Matthew Stafford more because the moments and the production in those moments, I also trust Matthew Stafford more because of the pieces of who or what are around him. I can't just talk quarterback play and look at it as inside a vacuum silo. I have to say that I trust all his offensive pieces and mainly his offensive line more than I trust Joe Burrow's. At some point, quarterbacks and giving the ball away are directly correlated to the pressure that they play under. What Joe Burrow has done does not happen in football. You don't get sacked and pressured as much as he does and not give the ball to the other team. And I'm less likely to trust Joe in the moments because the offensive line is still so bad. And while he's done a remarkable job of protecting the football, if you ask me the fundamental difference between Joe Burrow, really the first two-thirds of the season, and to where Joe Burrow has been the last third, it's giving the ball away under pressure. That's what he did the first 14 games. He was a bottom five quarterback in the NFL when it came to that. Throwing interceptions when I'm dealing with pressure, people around me. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, he's a top five quarterback. And so if he does that again in the Super Bowl, which again, I want everyone at home to understand, that's just unlikely. That does not happen on a consistent basis at that position. Then they got a great chance to win. But if he doesn't and he reverts back to a little bit of what he was in the first 2 months of the season, then this game could get out of hand. I don't see how Matthew Stafford loses this game. I know there's a formula for the Bengals to win. I don't see how that guy who was the highly touted recruit out of Texas and went to Georgia and then the number one pick and has been through I don't see how he loses this football game.
Okay. Well, I think that, you know, Joe Burrow is a Heisman Trophy winner, national champion. Mm-hmm. His first full season in the NFL, which is this season. He's in the Super Bowl. Jamar Chase is no slouch. T. Higgins is no slouch. Joe Mixon can run the football. Their defense has played surprisingly well. And I understand what you're saying because you get sacked 9 times by Tennessee and you still end up winning the game. That says a lot, but we all know that was primarily due to Ryan Tannehill being the other quarterback, because if Tennessee had somebody other than him, I believe they would have beaten the Cincinnati Bengals that particular game. But Ryan Tannehill, that's just what he does, okay? So I understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying that I look at a guy like Matthew Stafford, and I'm not giving my pick yet because I like the Rams, I like the Bengals. It's a pick 'em to me, but I will tell you, Matthew Stafford is the guy. He could win it. But he could also lose it for you because he takes chances.
He does have a league-leading 17 interceptions, which he's tied only with Trevor Lawrence. But on the other hand, Joe Burrow has 14 interceptions, so he's not that far behind. But to your point, Dan, you were talking about Joe Burrow under pressure. He ranks 8th in QBR when he's under pressure. So it does say a lot about him despite having a very shoddy offensive line.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Stephen, all seriousness, couple months ago, 6 months ago, you asked me to come on the show a little bit more this season. I just wanted to say thank you. No joking. I want to say thank you. It's been so much fun for me. It's been awesome for me. You've been tremendous. You've allowed me to kind of let my hair down, no pun intended, with this morning, and just kind of get into a little bit more fun and arguing. So I wanted to just say a sincere thank you. It's been so much fun for me. I won't be on for a little bit after this.
Yeah.
But truly, man, you're the best, man. So thank you. You've been awesome to me.
I want to thank you. You've been a great asset to the show. You've been tremendous. Every time you've been on the show, you've made it better. And I really, really appreciate you taking me up on the offer to come on the show. You made it a better show, my man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, and Stephen A., obviously, everyone knows how great you are. You're the face of ESPN. But, Dan, I also just want to say, just as someone who's been watching ESPN for a few years, I know I've been working here, but I've definitely seen you come so far into your own, especially in this past year. It's been so fun to see your growth. And you're Matthew Stafford's biggest fan. You've been saying it all along, and look where we are now.
You know,
obviously,
that's the only thing he's done
wrong. A very smart guy who's
sticking with
him.
You have conviction. You know, you see a lot of people who are wishy-washy on sports. Haven't been that, so I appreciate
that. It's the only thing he's done wrong. He has no credibility whatsoever when it comes to Matthew Stafford. He's completely subjective. He's emotional. He's
one
a cheerleader.
Here we go.
That's the only thing.
I'm going to be at the game. I'm going to be at the game being a cheerleader, 100%.
All right.
I can't be at the game. I have to do NBA Countdown.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
And now we are so excited to welcome in former NFL MVP and 7-time Pro Bowler Adrian Peterson to First Take. Adrian, Good morning. I hear you're also in L.A.
Yes, I'm in L.A. Good morning to you. Yeah.
Everybody's in L.A.
My brother, it's always good to see you. I just feel an obligation to let everybody know it's cold in the morning in L.A. The sun ain't out yet. Not really. That's why he got on that thick turtleneck. It will not be on this afternoon when the Southern California sunshine hits. I just want to make sure everybody knows.
I'll be pulling this off for sure.
Getting that vitamin D. You are here on behalf of RebalanceHealth.com, so thank you so very much. Adrian, first question is, look, you are one of the greatest running backs in NFL history, so we do value your opinion. So
yes,
who do you say is the best running back in the league right now? And then also, who would you say is the best of all time?
Oh, the best running back in the league right now? That's, I would have to base it off what happened last year. So I would say the young guy up in Indianapolis. You know, he really did some great things.
Okay.
He did some great things this year with Colts. The Colts, we leave
Jonathan
him.
Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor.
Our guy.
In Indianapolis. I have to go with him, the best of all time. I still got to stick with, you got Jim Brown. I love what he did to pave the way. And then, of course, Barry Sanders.
Okay. Well, first of all, throw yourself into the conversation, my brother. Let's be very, very clear about that. You will be in the Hall of Fame. You've been something special throughout your illustrious career. I want to know how much time you believe you have left. You played like 3 games for Tennessee. Obviously, you had played the game for Seattle. In terms of what your situation is and what you're planning for yourself moving forward.
Unfortunately, my season ended. Way I didn't want it to end last year, being on IR. But, I feel like I still have the ability to perform at a high level. So, God's willing, I'm able to give it another go. Maybe two more years, 3 more years.
You're 36, you know.
Yeah. I feel like I can still be productive, you know, so that's the main thing. You know, when I look back, I want to know that, hey, I gave it all that I had, and because there's going to be a point where I can't do it. You know? Mm-hmm. So until then, I'm going to keep riding.
Let's transition to the Super Bowl. We've got Cincinnati against the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, when I think about the Rams, we all know how loaded they are. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sleeping on Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is something else. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, those boys can play. Joe Mixon out of the backfield. And the defense has stepped up in the playoffs as well. When you look at this particular game, what do you think is the key component that'll show up in this game that maybe people are not talking about?
The key component? I don't know. You know, honestly, because you got a team like the Rams, you know, who's very aggressive defensively, and now that they got Akers back offensively, they're more balanced. And then you got Cincinnati, who's balanced offensively as well, and defense has played well. I think people are talking about it, but for me, I think the biggest thing will be how the defensive front for Los Angeles, how Cincinnati can hold up against those guys offensively. You know, give it up 9 sacks against Tennessee, but then you go back to the AFC Championship game and you see how that second half, they really stepped up their game offensively and defensively. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think that's going to be the biggest thing to determine, you know, what type of chance Cincinnati has if they can protect Burrow.
So who you got? Who you picking?
You know, we got two Oklahoma running backs down in Cincinnati. And okay. So, of course, I got to go. Got to go with the Bengals.
A loyal man. We like that around here. Now, Adrian, can you tell us more about your partnership that you have with RebalanceHealth.com?
Yeah. So, you know, here the past couple of weeks, I've been working with this company and I've been trying to supplement. And it's been amazing. The company, like you say, it's called Rebalance. And the supplement system optimizes physical and mental performance, whether that's at work, in the gym, or at home. And the thing that I love about Rebalance the most is it's an all-natural supplement. And it's an all-natural supplement that enhances the body's testosterone naturally, human growth hormones, and other hormones that helps with wellness and performance. So, it's been going well. For me, I take one in the morning. It's called Energize, and it helps me kind of get my body going and get a pep in my step. And then in the evening, I take the Relax, and it helps me because I'm really energized all the time. So it helps me kind of relax and kind of unwind without sitting me down. And then at night, I take the Dream Catcher, and that helps me get a good night rest and help my body recover and be ready to do it again, the next morning. So, but the big thing for me is it's all natural. It's not synthetic. And it's been working for me tremendously. Rebalance has really been working for me. So I'm loving it. And I'm looking forward to see, what we're going to do in the future.
All right. Helping you get a few more years out of that career, it seems. Future Hall of Fame running back Adrian Peterson. Thank you so very much for joining First Take. Enjoy LA.
All the best, Brent.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Yes, sir.
All right.